Do you find yourself after a long week? It's Sunday morning, you're not motivated. You say, I haven't been to church for a while, but I think I'll just watch online. And yet you feel like you're spiritually drifting. What's the real value and need of community when it comes to discovering your purpose? That's today. You don't want to miss it.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Living on the Edge is an international discipleship ministry featuring the daily Bible teaching of Chip Ingram. I'm Dave Druey, and in just a minute, we'll continue in our new series, Purposeful, featuring our guest teacher, Ryan Ingram. Over the last several programs, Ryan has been unpacking how we can not only discover our God-given calling, but live it out in all circumstances. But before we get started, I want to remind you of a great way to stay engaged with Living on the Edge, the Chip Ingram app. There you can access all of Chip's series, download the message notes, sign up for daily discipleship, and much more. Our mission is to help Christians live like Christians. So let us support you wherever you are in your walk with God. I hope you'll take a moment today and get connected with us through the Chip Ingram app. Well, with all that said, if you have a Bible, turn to Acts chapter 13 as we join Ryan for part two of his talk, It's Complicated.
See, it's easy to say, I'm just going to do me. But it comes at a cost. Rising anxiety, rising depression, sense of instability. See, in a world defined by the religion of me, you are rudderless, you are anchorless, you are adrift. And it says, anchor yourself in the house and family of Jesus. What does it mean to be in the house? I would say most of us feel like, hey, I'm a part of the family of God. I'm a part of the family of God, but are you a part of the house of God? There's a big difference between being a house, like being part of the household or a guest, right? When you're part of the household, like you have a deep responsibility in that household. Like my kids hanging out together, you know, there's chores that we have to do. And they're, you know, whether it's cleaning or cooking or some of these sort of things, there's responsibility. But there's a deep level of relationship, isn't there? There's a family sense that we're together traveling. There's different roles that each of us fill. And that sense of autonomy struggles against that sense of wanting to be a part of the house. And some of you experienced that. Remember that first time that you came home from college after extended time away and your parents are like going, you know, I know you've had a lot of fun, but in our house, this is kind of how we need to do things here. And if you want to go off and live on your own, that's okay. But in our house, why? Because there's a way of going about things in our house, in God's house, in the house of Jesus. And we can struggle with some of those things until we have the roommate that is so constantly messy and disorganized that all of a sudden we become the one going like, no, there's gotta be some rules to our house. See, there's a difference of being a guest. And I would say most of us believe and feel like we're in the family of God, but we're more guests in the houses of Jesus or in the houses of worship. We show up and we kind of partake and it's like, hey, nice, I got this meal, but some of the accessibility, some of the responsibility, some of the just going like where Paul and Barnabas are going like, we're not doing our own thing. We're a part of a greater thing. And so we're going to bring this before you and whatever you say, we're going to do. See, it anchors us. It anchors us into community. It anchors us into the ways of Jesus. Join the family and then get engaged in the house of Jesus. Like, I'm coming into this community. I'm going to be responsible for certain things. I'm a participant. I'm not just showing up and taking. I'm someone who's bringing to the table. I'm coming recognizing, okay, I'm a learner as well. In a world defined by religion of me, anchor yourself in the house and family of God. You may be part of the family, but are you a part of the house? Many of us have operated simply as guests. The second thing in a post-pandemic world is in a world of soundbite theology. Think deeply in refining Jesus-centered community. In a world of soundbite theology, what we have today is, can you tweet it? Can you repost it? And it becomes the framework for our theological or our ideological or philosophical understanding. In a world of soundbite theology of what we see, would you think deeply in refining Jesus-centered community? You notice that in the text, it said, after much discussion. This was a big issue. It was urgent. There was already a lot of misteaching that came out of this. It's like, man, let's just get on this really quick. And they took their time and they thought deeply and well in examining the scriptures and what God's saying and how he's worked to come to where they landed. We live in an age of information overload where we're constantly barraged by so much information, it's hard or impossible to take it in. So we actually abdicate our thinking to other people. What do they think? What do they say? Whatever they said, then that's what I believe. And whatever they posted, and you never go behind and look at what they really believe or what they really view or understand. We live in information overload and then in a culture where it almost demands instant reaction to something. And so it's not only that I am barraged by all this information, but I have to respond immediately. I have to repost immediately. I have to show other people, you know, what I really believe and what I really think on something that happened 10 seconds ago, 10 minutes ago, one day ago. We live in a world of soundbite theology, and yet the calling, if we're going to live a purpose-filled life, is to think deeply in refining Jesus-centered community. After much discussion, we're losing the ability to think deeply and dialogue about important and even controversial things. I don't know if this is true for you, but I found over the pandemic that I just would check the newsfeed nonstop. I would wake up in the morning, I'd check it, then I'd go check it again, and I'd go check it again. Then maybe you're so tired at the end of the night, then you just desk scroll, Instagram. And what I found was I was unable to concentrate. Deeply distracted. Anytime I began to focus, and even unmotivated. I love to read. And there was a good chunk of time I just felt like I couldn't read at all, except little sound bites. See, the calling to a purpose-filled life is not to react to all that's up there, but to sink deeply into the Word of God, to read deeply classic works and what others have thought, and to engage in a community that's centered on Jesus. I keep getting back to this because I keep seeing us not centered on Jesus. Like at the end of our conversation, was Jesus the focal points? Was he the one, would he be honored by the conversation? We may have disagreed with it, but would he be honored by the conversation? Not simply centered on our preferences or our opinions. Ted Turnow notes that most people are not driven by well-understood and articulated philosophical worldviews. He says, more typically, people express their life philosophy in what we could call a street philosophy, which is held intuitively, unexamined, but that powerfully captures the gist of one's perspective on reality. And if we're going to live purposely in a post-pandemic world, first, we have to anchor our lives into the house of Jesus and in the family of Jesus, then we have to be a people who are not gonna live on the surface level of things, but we're going to think deeply in refining Jesus-centered community. Meaning, refining means that there's gonna be some friction, that other people and you are going to grow together and help each other grow. That's why Proverbs says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. That sharpening effect, that comes with friction. But when you have committed to the house of God, like, this is my household, this is my family, these are my people, I'm not running away the minute there's friction, I'm leaning in because we're family. Refining Jesus-centered community. What does this mean? It means we have to intentionally and systematically mute the noise. With your phone, do you have a day where it's just turned off? I can't do that, Ryan. By the way, you can. None of us are that important. Do you have a time when you shut off all this, you know, alerts on your phone, or you set it aside at night? You know, Tim Ferriss, he has this quote, he says, win the morning, win the day. That's been so challenging to me, because I'd wake up in the morning so distracted, and I'd be checking that newsfeed, and I'd be, you know, all of a sudden then on Instagram, and I'm just zoned out, and I get up super early, and sometimes I'm super tired, and then I look up, an hour went by, and I did nothing. I'm like, why am I up early doing this? And so I just started leaving my phone in the other room, leaving my computer in the other room, sitting with God's word, my journal, some books that are deeply challenging to me. When's the last time you read a book that was deeply challenging to you? When's the last time maybe you read a Christian classic where you asked one of your pastors, hey, what's one of the most formational books you've ever read? What's one of the books that you go back and reread over and over again? And then begin to discuss with other believers what you're learning and how you're growing. In a world of soundbite theology, we must become a people who think deeply in refining Jesus-centered community in order to have a purpose-filled life post-pandemic. Finally, in a world paralyzed by chronic uncertainty, isn't that the last year? Like, you can't even plan. You don't even know what's going to happen next. Chronic. And I think that might be our norm for a while. I think we used to feel like there was a lot of certainty and you could plan and you never gave thought about it. And then all of a sudden it's been completely disrupted, and it's chronic uncertainty, and it's disrupted, and we don't know what to do. And what it does is it paralyzes us, doesn't it? In a world paralyzed by chronic uncertainty, do the next right thing in front of you. Here's what I love, right? So Paul and Barnabas, they, instead of doing their own thing, they bring it down to the leaders of the church. There's much discussion. Where they landed, they didn't answer all the questions. There's so many things to think about this. Jews and Gentiles now worshiping together under the banner of Jesus, now one family. How in the world does that work? What in the world does that look like on the island of Cyprus? What does that look like in Lyconium and Lystra and where they're at, as opposed to Jerusalem? And it looks so different. And how do you figure out all these different things? And here's what they did. Here's what was amazing. They simply moved forward on what they were absolutely clear on. What they were absolutely clear on is there is nothing more to be saved other than placing your faith and trust in Jesus. What they're absolutely clear on is in following in the ways of Jesus, you got to say no to sexual immorality. You got to say no to your old life when it comes to idolatry and your worshiping and say yes to Jesus. Other than that, go figure it out. And there's lots of letters in the New Testament that help us go figure it out. They just did the next right thing they knew to do. They wrote a letter and let them know. They didn't wait until they had the perfect plan. And so many of us in the world paralyzed by chronic uncertainty, we're waiting for perfect. Wait until we have it figured out. And your call in fulfilling your purpose, my call, fulfilling my purpose, just do the next right thing in front of you today. What is the next right thing? It's really not that hard. Dallas Willard said it this way. I totally ripped it off from him, by the way. He says, simply do the next right thing you know you ought to do. That's basically the crux of following in the ways of Jesus, of loving your neighbor as yourself. Like, what does that look like? For some, the next right thing in front of you is getting deeply into God's word, having a conversation, extending forgiveness, deleting your social media posts, confessing, you know, a struggle to someone who's going to help you walk along the way, loving your neighbor. There are so many next right things you know to do that just come up and you just go, oh, God, what's the next right thing? I don't need step 3 or step 4 or step 5, but what is the next right thing for me to do? And then do it. Don't delay, do it. Friends, how do we live a purpose-filled life in this post-pandemic world? It's possible. It's anchored in the house and family of Jesus. Anchor your life in a house of worship. Family moving together. Think deeply in refining Jesus-centered community, and then just simply do the next right thing you know to do. And in that, we'll discover we are a purpose-filled and a purpose-full community of Jesus. God, thanks so much for your grace and your work in our lives. And I know this time has been so hard, filled with anxieties and fears and so much that's gone on that felt like, can we even move forward in life? Father, I pray right now that your Holy Spirit would come alongside as the great comforter to comfort those that are wrestling right now, the great guide who says, yes, these are the next steps. And you would cause us to be a people that lean in for your name's sake so that other people might experience your goodness and grace. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, as we close the program today, I think one of the questions that maybe some of you are having is, how do I join the family of God? Like, Ryan, I want to be a part of the house and the family of God, and I realized as you were talking, I am not a part of the family of God. You know, the wonderful reality about Christianity and the gospel is it isn't a religion to join, but a relationship to enjoy. You know, one of the most famous verses of all time is John 3:16, and explains so powerfully and beautifully how we join the family of God. He writes, "For God so loved the world
Like, that's his disposition towards you right now. One of love. He loves you. He's wild about you. And how did he love you? That he gave his one and only son. He did the work. You don't have to work your way to God, earn your way to God, good your way to God. He worked his way to you. He did the work on the cross for you so that whoever believes in him, that word believe means to put your trust in him, the full weight of your life. Many of you probably are listening right now sitting in a chair. You put the full weight of your body in that chair. That's what it means to believe in the chair, is putting your full weight in it. And this is what it means to believe in Jesus, that you put the full weight of your life in him. Jesus, you are the Son of God. You did come for me. You died in my place that I might have life. And you rose again to new life to give me life now and forevermore. And so I trust your ways. I trust your heart, and I'm going to follow you in what you say to do. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And that means life now. God wants to deposit a brand new life right now. See, Jesus doesn't want to resuscitate your old life. He wants to resurrect you to brand new life, both now and forevermore. And so, if you want to join the family of God, no matter where you are, no matter what you've done, the Father's arms are open wide to you right now in this moment. And he's longing and calling and saying, welcome home. And would you turn to him and say, here I am. And if that's where you're at, would you just pray with me? There's nothing magical about the prayer. It's just a conversation with your heavenly Father. Would you pray in your hearts or out loud? Maybe you're in your car or in your home after me. Heavenly Father, I long to join the family of God. I confess that I've blown it. I confess that I've run from you, that I've sinned. Would you please forgive me? I believe that you sent your son Jesus for me, that I can't do anything to earn being a part of your family. You just want me to be a part of it. And so you paid the price on the cross and you rose to life and to give me life. Today, I put the full weight of my life in you. Would you come into my life and make me new? Thank you for your love. Thank you for making me a part of your family. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you just prayed with Ryan, we'd love to put a free resource in your hands. It's called Starting Out Right, and it's absolutely free. This resource will help you gain a clear biblical understanding of what it means to put your faith in Jesus. And that's our whole mission here at Living on the Edge, helping Christians really live like Christians. So let us help you get started in your faith journey. You can request this resource by calling 888-333-6003 or visiting livingontheedge.org and then clicking on the New Believers button. That's livingontheedge.org or call 888-333-6003. Well, Chip, for a lot of believers over a period of time, the Christian life starts feeling like a big, long to-do list. Like I'm supposed to pray, I'm supposed to read my Bible, and it becomes a grind and there's no joy. Now, could you give us some help in terms of how do we make our relationship with the Lord fresh and alive the way we'd like it to be and the way God wants it to be?
Dave, it's true of all of us. I mean, it's about relationship. It's about connection. It's about the Spirit of God taking the Word of God and hearing His voice and growing and having a sense of His presence and very vivid prayers and sort of walking with God day to day. And what I realize is a lot of Christians don't know how that works, or they need kind of a jump start to that. We're doing something brand new. It's called Daily Discipleship with Chip, and it's on true spirituality. It's me meeting with you, the listener, one-on-one We walk through the text together. I give you a small little outline, and I ask you to do 10 minutes. And for 17 days, we walk day by day together and discover how to study the Bible, how to hear God's voice, developing the habit where day in and day out, you begin to make this a part of your life. People have asked me for years, will you mentor me? Will you disciple me? Daily discipleship, true spirituality, is just that. Dave, could you tell them how they can get connected with us?
Thanks, Chip. Well, we're so excited to share with you this new Daily Discipleship with Chip, True Spirituality, based in Romans chapter 12. Our heart behind this video series is to really help you dive into God's Word and discover how to more intentionally live out your faith. For 17 days, you and Chip will walk through what true spirituality looks like and how you can put these truths into practice. If you're looking for the next step along your faith journey, let me encourage you to be a part of Daily Discipleship with Chip, True Spirituality. Pre-register for this study today, and we'll send you our friend Lance Witt's devotional based on Romans 12 called Leave Ordinary Behind at no cost. Sign up now while this offer lasts by going to livingontheedge.org or by calling 888-333-6003 or go to livingontheedge.org. App listeners, just tap Discipleship. As we wrap up, I want to say thanks to those who make this program possible through your generous financial support. Your gifts help us create programs, purchase airtime, and develop additional resources to help Christians live like Christians. Now, if you've been blessed by the ministry of Living on the Edge, would you consider sending a gift today? You can call us at 888-333-6003, tap the Donate button, or donate online at livingontheedge.org. Your support is greatly appreciated. Well, be sure to join us again next time when Ryan continues his series, Purposeful. Until then, this is Dave Drewy saying thanks for listening to this edition of Living on the Edge.